Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Mike Mayock joins us in moments. Talk about the Eagles. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the Mark's difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel, online at marks-jewelers.com. Is this starting to feel like the year for the Phillies? 57% say yes, 43% say no. A four-game sweep over the Mets, putting them 11 games back in the division, would be pretty outrageous. And yeah. I didn't think we would have the chance to maybe push the Mets out of the playoffs completely, but they're only 2.5 games up from the Giants at this point. So, man, it would be nice. I'm not scared of the Mets. It would be nice to not even have to think about going to Citi Field.
You know? I wonder, you know, they lose tonight.
The Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like they've thrown in the towel.
You think?
I'm surprised they didn't put up more of a fight in this series.
No,
because this is where they had a legitimate chance to gain some ground, is going head to head.
Yes. I mean, we came into this series, the Phillies were up 7 games. So, you know, you come in, they win 3 games or something, then all of a sudden there's a discussion the rest of the year, but there's not. But now the Mets it's not about the division for the Mets anymore. Now they're fighting for their playoff lives. I would love to be the team that pushes, that helps put the Mets completely out of the playoffs. All right, joining us now, as he will all football season long, the great Mike Mayock. You can hear him on the Believe in Eagles podcast with Lee Mayock. Mike, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. How you guys doing?
What's up, Mike?
Good, man. It's always better to do the show a 1-0 week of show week rather than an 0-1 show week. So we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, and there was, at times, I'm not sure 1-0 was looking real good.
Yeah, I mean, the first half of that, why don't we start with the offense? Because the first half of that game, it just really felt like, oh no, we're not going to be able to stop them at all, and I don't know if we can score enough. So why don't we start with the offense? You know, it's they scored on a good percentage of their drives, and Jalen, at least in the first half, looked good, but you look at the game in the end, and there's things to pick apart. So what did you see offensively from the Eagles?
All right, I'm just going to give you my I spent 5 hours watching this tape. I was really captivated by this tape, and I'm going to give you my offensive notes at the very end, a synopsis of the game. Point number one, Jalen Hurts won this game with his legs. He scrambled all day long. I was, not only did he scramble out of necessity, but he also scored 2 touchdowns. They win the game because of their quarterback. Point number two, if you're going to run 12 and 13 personnel, which is multiple tight ends, all of them need to block better. Point number three, offensive line, not what we're used to. I thought Dickerson struggled. I think he was probably still hurt. He looked kind of stiff and slow. Surprisingly, both tackles had some bad pass reps. I thought Osa Odighizuwa, number 97 from Dallas, was a factor in the game, and the offensive line just didn't play as high a level as they typically do. And if I had to grade the offense, I would give Jalen Hurts an A+ and the rest of the team a C+.
Wow, an A+ for Jalen. So let me ask you this.
About where I had him at.
Yeah, let me ask you this about the performance. And you mentioned the scrambling, and it was one of the better scrambling games I've ever seen him have. And he was decisive, at least in the first half of the game. Is when he didn't see what he wanted, he would take off running. I guess my question is why did he need to do that? And is that something that you think moving forward is sustainable for them to rely on his scrambling and his running that much?
No, I don't think it's sustainable. And I do think that, number one, we got to give a little credit to a team that is better than I thought they were with Dallas. I thought they came in with a good plan. I thought they took away the run game really well. I mean, in all honesty, Saquon Barkley, if he doesn't stand on his head a couple times, he doesn't even have the numbers that he ended up with. He made some guys miss. And I guess what I'm trying to say is they've got to block better. And I think you probably got the feeling of that, both from what I said about the tight end and about the offensive line.
Yeah.
I'm talking about pass protection and run game.
Yeah. Yeah, even Kevin Petullo mentioned that in his press conference this week, that the blocking certainly needed to be better in that game Monday night. I was going to ask you about what Dallas did to this offense, Mike, to sort of bottle them up. Right? The running game has been bottled up two straight games if you throw the Super Bowl in there as well. Is there anything you're seeing that, like, defenses, you know, this is a copycat league, so they're going to probably see some semblance of what Dallas did or some variation of it. Anything particular they did that sort of gave the Eagles problems?
Well, they were in some eight-man looks, and I know Kevin Petullo talked about that a little bit also, but if you're going to be a run team, you're going to see some looks you don't love running against. I think from a personnel perspective, I kind of look at it and go, okay, they lost Becton. You know, you're working Steen in, and Dickerson wasn't very healthy. So this is week one of a transition, and I think it's going to get better. And I think it'll start to get better this week because their coach is really good, and they'll start to get a feel for what they do well and how they do it against certain looks. So I'm nowhere near panicked.
Okay.
And I'm happy they got the W. I'm just saying there's some turnover in that O-line, and I thought the left guard didn't look like the left guard usually does.
One more thing on the offense before we move to the defense, Mike. There has been, and I think fairly so, a lot of talk about A.J. Brown's one target. And, you know, it's not like Devontae Smith went off either, you know, three catches for 16 yards. What can they do if teams are going to keep throwing the same sort of zone at them every single week? What can they do to make sure they're utilizing those guys they're spending a lot of money on those guys. So what can they do to make sure that they are getting the most they can out of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I thought that Dallas did a nice job on play action also, even though they were coming aggressively downhill, crossing routes, typical things you see off flood routes, sail routes that you see off play action, they really covered well. So give Dallas some credit. It'll be interesting this week when you look at Kansas City from a matchup perspective, because Kansas City shut down the run last week and really struggled, A, putting any pressure on Justin Herbert, and B, covering wideouts. Okay? So the way I look at this game coming up is it'll be a really nice test for the Eagles to hold up pass protection wise and give them an opportunity to throw the ball, get them off on their heels a little bit. And then maybe, you know, I'd love to see if they're going to throw the ball early and try to get the lead and come back in that second half and run Saquon. But again, I'm not panicked at all. I just think every year between weeks one and two, you see the most adjustments made.
Mike Mayock with us right now. All right, now you mentioned the top of this. It didn't look like we might win the game, and I think a lot of that has to do with the Eagles' struggles defensively. What did you see that didn't work, and then from there, do you see solutions to the things that didn't work?
Well, I mean, you start with too many penalties, and they got called for 9 accepted penalties. 7 of them were on the defense. And in the first half alone, you had the dumbass Jalen Carter thing before the first snap. You had 3 defensive pass interference calls. You had a taunting. You had an unnecessary roughness. And that was all in the first half. Okay? And if you look at it by series, I think if I remember correctly, Dallas went touchdown, touchdown, field goal, then halftime.
Halftime, yep.
And then in the second half, it was lost fumble, punt, punt, down. Okay, so they didn't score in the second half. So things got a little bit better. I think Vic is the kind of guy that knows how to fix some things at halftime. But that was just point number one, the penalty thing. Point number two is I'm not sure if the answer at corner is on the roster right now. Adoree Jackson got the first shot. They had 5 catches at 14-plus yards and the DPI. And to be honest, a lot of those catches were way too easy for an NFL game. Thought he played a little bit better, a little more comfortable in the second half, but I'm not sure what they're going to do out there. Number 3, if CeeDee Lamb catches 3 passes he normally catches, I'm not sure that's a win. Number 4, You know, who do I like off the tape? Zach Bond just continues to blow me away. The hustle play on the run, catching the running back from behind, set up the forced fumble to change the game. Mm-hmm. Ojomo and Jordan Davis both had to play plus or minus 90% of the snaps because of Jalen Carter getting thrown out. And this Jihad Campbell dude, you know, he's got a long way to go before he's going to be a polished off-the-ball linebacker. But you want to talk about big play potential, he's the guy that had the forced fumble after the Zach Bond hustle play.
Yep.
And there was a 30-yard seam pass down the middle.
Yeah.
Yep.
That hit the back of his friggin' helmet. And I watched him run from the far side of the field to get underneath that. And that's rare for any linebacker, let alone a rookie, to get there. So I got a kick out of that, and I think Nolan Smith is developing into a quality edge guy, both run and pass. So that they were kind of my positive takeaways on defense.
Yeah, you mentioned the cornerback, too, not being on the roster. Do you think they have – now, they just add Za'Darius Smith from an edge perspective. Do you think they have everything they need on the roster there?
At edge?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I only had time to literally watch 10 snaps of Za'Darius Smith last year, which was his sacks. He had, maybe he had 8 sacks, whatever. But there were 10 plays. And what was interesting to me was the way he was used. Remember, it was Cleveland. He played for 2 teams, Cleveland and Detroit.
Yep.
A couple of the sacks in the Cleveland tape were inside, you know, and he did a nice job inside working on guards. He did a nice job working a twist back to the outside. He's a little bit like a Brandon Graham, you know, and Brandon Graham was thicker. But this kid is still thick. He's a big body defensive end with some explosion to him. He just turned 33, I think, this week. I don't know what kind of shape he's in, but I'm hoping they can get from him kind of what they got from Brandon when they needed it, which was just some physicality and spark. I also thought Josh Uche made a couple moves on up and unders that were surprising and got some pressure on the quarterback. I already mentioned Nolan Smith. Jalex Hunt is a project continuing, and I'm not. I like Jalex Hunt, but I love the fact that Howie just is never satisfied. And even though it's week one, they hadn't even gotten the 48 hours after the game, and they signed Za'Darius Smith. I mean, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I was just about to ask you, Mike, about Howie's mindset and approach right now to, I guess, continually adding pieces to this team to try to get this team where he wants it to be. Your former GM, at this time of the year, right, once the season has started, where do you go to get sort of players that is an upgrade? It's hard to find them on the street, right? Is it you got to try to make a trade? Like, how does that work when you're a GM that when the season is started and you're still trying to improve your roster?
Well, we obviously all have a ready list, which basically are A, guys on the street, like Za'Darius Smith was.
Yep.
And there are typically veterans out there that say, hey, I didn't like the money I was offered back in June. I don't particularly love training camp. So I'm going to wait until somebody gets hurt during the season and sign. And there are guys like that on the street. Mm-hmm. Number two, practice squads. Every guy in the league that's on a practice squad is technically a free agent. You can poach a practice squad player anywhere. So you've got a stack of practice squad players by position that you think are on. They're also on your ready list. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you're always kind of prior to the trading deadline, you're always out there trying to find teams that have a surplus at a position of need for you and to see if there's something available. I guarantee you Howie just flat out exhaust those things all day, every day.
Mike Mayock with us. So Mike, looking ahead to Sunday, the Super Bowl rematch against the Chiefs. Chiefs lose their first game against the Chargers. It's sort of hard, at least right now, to decipher between the Chiefs as like the legend of the Chiefs and what we are watching right now. From a talent standpoint, where do you think the Chiefs are? And is that seeing what Justin Herbert did to them in the past game, is that something you think the Eagles can replicate on Sunday?
Yeah, it's really interesting because like the left side of their offensive line is different. It's Josh Simmons and Kingsley Sumataya, a first-round pick and a second-round pick, instead of Joe Tooney and Caliendo. Athletically, very much upgrades the two guys this year. Now, it's going to take a little time for them to get together. So So it's kind of a good time to get them right now. Also, at the wideout position, you know, Rashee Rice, 6-game suspension. Xavier Worthy, questionable for this week. They're their two best wideouts. So, again, the Eagles are kind of getting them at a good time offensively. They don't have to play their best wideout. And even if Worthy plays, it might be in a shoulder harness. So they're getting these guys at a pretty good time. Offensively, their run game is not dynamic at all. They don't have a running back that can take it to the house. The pass game has been severely hurt because of what I just talked about. The O-line's a work in progress. And really, it's all about their quarterback standing on his head to beat you. And that's what they're struggling in the red zone. You know, on defense, they were very stout against the run. I mentioned earlier they couldn't get a consistent pass rush unless they brought linebackers. That's why their sacks were Drew Tranquil had 2 sacks, a linebacker. They didn't force any turnover. So, you know, I'm a big believer in Spagnuolo, the defense coordinator. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll put something together to challenge this Eagles team, but I would think the Eagles ought to in their mind think we can come out and throw the ball against this team and we can do it early and often.
You think the Eagles win this game on Sunday?
It's a hard ask going in there. I've gone in there too many times to say it's going to be easy, mm-hmm. but I think the Eagles have more talent, and I think they're going to show a big improvement from week 1 to 2, and I do think they'll win a game.
All right. Thank you, as always, Mike. To have a guy's like, you know what I did before this call? I grinded 5 hours of that game. The game that only lasted 3, and I assume you didn't watch the
commercials and halftime.
And the delay. So yes. You're the man. So thank you so much, Mike. We appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Appreciate it,
thanks.
Mike.
Yep.
There is Mike Mayock.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to the Believe in Eagles podcast with Mike
grinder.
And Lima.
Dude. Tape grinder.
I love it.
Yeah.
So he says he thinks the Eagles can go in there and throw early and often.
Yeah. I mean, they should be able to, but like, always look at it this way.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say, okay, the Chiefs, they're struggling defending the pass. Okay, we weren't clicking throwing the ball last week, so it
right.
still boils down to us and us, you know, executing.
Being able to do it.
Yeah, we got to execute. So, yeah, and the thing about when you're on the road, man, it's hard to communicate
yep.
from an offensive standpoint. And playing in that building, Arrowhead, they're going to be jacked up. They don't want to go 0-2. I was on the way in, I'm listening to the Midday Show. They, you know, they like to eavesdrop on the opponent's radio shows.
Oh, they do that.
So, yeah,
okay.
they were listening to some of the Kansas City stuff.
Yeah, we have a station in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so their host, they were pretty much talking about, they were almost trying to convince themselves or their listeners, hey, we're the Chiefs.
Right.
Season's not over with. You can't be doubting Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Coming here, you know, that's one game. It was Brazil. You know, the Chiefs are a much better team. So they almost had to play mental games with themselves to remind themselves the last 2 times they saw this team, it wasn't very good.
So it reminds me of the Spurs. And, like, the Spurs every year, everybody's like, ah, this is the year the Spurs aren't
right.
good. But then, after the Spurs ended, they haven't made playoffs in 7 years. Right? The San Antonio
yeah,
Spurs.
It's hard to believe.
So what it makes me think of, and I don't think the Chiefs are in this spot yet.
I don't think they're there yet either, man.
But yeah. What I will say is this.
Yeah.
It is a testament to the Howie Roseman, the Eagles organization. When you say that the issue with the Chiefs, they have the 2 hardest things to get checked off. Great head coach, great quarterback.
Right.
Otherworldly head coach and otherworldly quarterback.
Yeah.
Last few years from a talent standpoint, you're looking at it and you're like, well, what have they been doing? Do you know what I mean? Like
smoke and mirrors, Patrick Mahomes making plays in the clutch.
Yeah, it just seems like from an offense, I get Worthy's hurt and I get what's his name, Hunt is hurt.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
Well, the other guy suspended. Rice.
Yeah. Rice is hurt. Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, how can you not have... I loved watching Isaiah Pacheco. I guess he's not that good, you know. It's just
Andrew, he hasn't come back from that. Did he break his ankle?
Yeah, he hasn't come back from his leg injury.
That leg injury was pretty bad, yeah.
It just seems like they should, if you have the coach and you have the quarterback, everything, I'm not saying everything
else should be. By the way, quarterback's in his prime, too. It's not like
he's 29.
Yeah.
He's not 38, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
It just seems like, I don't know. It makes me, this is less about questioning the Chiefs and more about giving credit to the Eagles,
right,
who have been able to, and we'll see how the next 5 years go. But if you go back all the way back to 17, this is now a decade almost of having enough talent on the roster to win. They don't win every single year,
right,
but being able to like rebuild. And when you just have to be able to do that. And I don't know. It is a credit to the Eagles that they have. And I think when you look at the Chiefs, you realize how yes, they have a great quarterback. Yes, they have a great coach. But you realize how hard the other stuff is.
I'm going to tell you what it reminds me of a little bit. It reminds me of those Patriot teams before they got Moss.
Right.
So they went through that little window where they were still trying to win the Patriot way, and you play defense and you run the ball. And they were coming up short there for a while. Then, you know, Bill Belichick was like, oh, dude, Randy Moss is available?
Yeah.
Yeah, get him.
Well, because he's kind of doing what he did again in the early 2000s. I mean, where...
Yeah, the offense is... It's not good. It's not explosive anymore. They may go get Tyreek Hill.
They got to go get Tyreek Hill.
Oh, he would be incredible.
Yeah.
Good, good for my fantasy team, too. But
and Ike's fantasy team.
Yeah,
mine, too, yes.
But
yeah, we're both hoping that they go get Tyreek Hill.
Well, I got Tyreek Hill in like the fifth round. I felt like it was Jeremy and I felt
that's
like
about
it was.
Where I got him, too, in my other league. Yeah.
Good value pick. This is for everybody, but 2 years ago or three, Derrick Henry was out there for $10 million a year. And you look at the Chiefs and imagine if you give Patrick Mahomes a back like that. It's just, there are guys that you can go get. They've had the opportunity to get offensive weapons that they haven't gotten.
Which also can be a sober reminder for us. We need to enjoy this time that we have this amount of talent on the team because it's not always going to be this way.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes can still play football. I watched him last week. Patrick Mahomes. He just doesn't have the talent around him. So I say that to say there may be a time when we don't have as much talent around our quarterback.
Well,
and you still got to go out there and try to win.
We'll be fine. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yep.
This is why everybody says, how does Ike work with those guys?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had the same exact reaction. The same one. 215.
He doesn't need it.
Yeah,
that's the great part.
He just wins.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
We'll find a way.
Yeah, it just wins. 215-592-9494. We've talked a bit today about A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith getting the ball. Nick Sirianni had one of his Nick Sirianni sayings about how they have to handle this year. We will get to that next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Game 4 of the Phillies' 4-game series with the Mets tonight on 94 WIP in the free Odyssey app. First pitch at 7:15. Is it a national game tonight, Jack? Is that what?
Oh yeah, we got Joe Davis and Smoltz on the call.
Oh,
that's Fox.
Yeah, little World Series preview.
They got it on Fox on a Thursday, huh?
Yeah. Well, so around this time, the broadcasters try to get some reps in for the playoffs.
Gotcha.
So.
Oh, these guys don't call games all year?
Not really, because Joe Davis is the Dodgers full time broadcaster.
But they call baseball games.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. They don't do a national game.
Smoltz usually does, but I think that Buck used to do this too, where Buck was randomly calling a game
right
here.
Do we think on national TV tonight?
Oh, rivalry pack?
Are we going to see the Mets rivalry pack on Bryce? What do we think? Everybody vote. Ike first.
I don't think so.
So Ike
100%
says,
yes.
I think it caused so much backlash the last time. I don't know.
They better win.
Yeah.
You wear the rivalry pack. You better win.
I will say this. He didn't have a rivalry pack on last night, but that was a cool-looking get-up. The gloves, the lime green with the cleats.
Yep.
That was pretty good.
You know who's got...
That looked pretty good last night.
The guy who's locked in with the gloves and the pads is Bader.
Yeah.
Bader's got the pink and purple and the lightning bolts on him.
Yes.
I was on Bader's website, and I'm like, do you know how much? Guess how
Is
much?
Is that where you got the Darth Bader shirt yesterday?
No, I got that from Breaking Tea. So it's a it's a officially player licensed shirt. So it is a major Players Association shirt. Okay. So that's where I got it. But I'm on Bader's site, you know, that has all, you can buy all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Pair of batting gloves, Bader batting gloves. How much do you think it is?
$50?
$75.
Holy cow.
Yeah, baseball equipment's gotten.
Yeah, batting gloves are $20 when I was. Now I'm 49, yeah, I guess. But
what is he using? Nike? Newman? No, he's a New Balance guy, right?
No, I think they're like a whole new brand.
Yeah,
I
saw it's him a whole special brand.
Oh, okay.
I saw him at Dick's the other day.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
I thought about buying them. I'm like, what the hell?
What are you going to do with batting gloves?
But this is what happens when you don't have any kids. I'm like, well, what do I do?
That is true, yeah.
Yeah, it's $75.
I'm talking about that is true, like I know.
Yeah, well, it's just like, you know, I'm like, well, $75.
Yeah. Batting gloves, no
batting
problem.
Gloves. What am I going to do with them? But I'm not a stuff guy, so I didn't buy it.
Not a stuff guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't like buying stuff just to put it on a shelf.
I know what you're saying.
The
yeah.
stuff that I buy is like my weakness is T-shirts and hats.
Yeah.
And at
stuff
least
you're
going to
wear, you're going to use it.
Yeah, I'm not a stuff guy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really a memorabilia guy.
You should have bought it so that when the reunion of the scandal of the Delco Aston Middletown Little League is brought up, you're ready to go.
I have my batting gloves already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you face Ben and Glenn Davis.
Dude, I want one more at bat against Ben.
One more, Ben!
Can I get one more at bat against Ben Davis?
And can Herb be the umpire?
That's fine, as long as he doesn't have a bathroom break in the middle of it. I want one. This whole Fritz versus the camera thing. Now, yeah. I know if I swing the bat too hard, I'm going to hurt my back and I'll be out for weeks. But I just want one. I want my revenge on Ben Davis. And now that I'm sure he doesn't pitch very much anymore. And I know Ben listens all the time. So if you're listening, Ben, I want one more at bat against you. 215.
I'm probably sure he's done batting practice with his boys.
I'm sure
he throws a lot of BP.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like he'd have to gas it back up into the 90s.
Oh, yes, he would.
Yeah?
Well, he'd probably do the same PEDs he did when he was a kid.
Wow.
Well, look, that's all I'm saying.
Are you exposing the Aston Middletown Little League again?
Like he was like a string bean.
Can we get that call? The caller back here?
No, I'm sure she has 215-592 already dialed up. Yeah. 215-592-9494. Pat in Denver, you're on WIP. What's up, Pat?
Got fired, Spike. Oh man, I gotta come on after that.
Well,
oh, boy.
You know,
okay.
Yeah, it's always I'm always holding everybody accountable.
Yeah, head on a swivel.
Yeah.
Yeah. talk about Bader. I mean, just like Shonuff says, he's the master.
He is.
I think he's our leadoff hitter, and the Phillies are going to go do this thing.
Hold on.
Well,
he's not the leadoff hitter when Trey comes back.
Trey will be back there.
Yeah,
but I do wonder.
Well, you keep him there.
If you could do Trey 1, Bader 2, Bryce 3, Schwarber 4 to put Schwarber behind.
That's the way we would do it. That's the way we would do it, yes.
To put Schwarber behind Bryce. Bryce, look, I'll give credit to Bryce here. If Bryce has gotten Kyle Schwarber this contract by hitting behind him all year long. So what I would say is when we get to the playoffs, let's let Schwarber, you know, protect Bryce a little bit instead of Bryce protecting Schwarber all the time. So
yeah, because they're not gonna pitch to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're flexing your baseball knowledge, which how good is Mike Mayock, by the way? I mean that every time I listen to when he's on your show, I'm like, that guy makes me feel like an idiot. Way more than Spike does.
Well, he's
also teaching us.
Yes, I think. But here are my two favorite things about Mayock, and I'm glad you brought that up, Pat, because I think Mayock's great. The first thing is he knows what he's looking at, but he doesn't describe it in a way that I don't understand, which I think sometimes, you know, you get these football film guys that can make you feel like a dummy. But he is saying stuff, I'm understanding when he's saying it. The second thing is, and I think, Ike, you asked him a question about this, is he will give us the perspective of an executive as he did it, and he gives it to us in an honest way. So I'm thrilled that we have a real football expert named Mike on the show, and that the other one is ruining the University of North Carolina.
The third is that he won't ditch us.
Yeah, yep. I don't think Mayock will ditch us. I hope not, at least.
Wow.
I could watch the All 22 for 8 hours, and Mike would be like, "You're an idiot."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, it's good stuff. Great stuff. Someone you know, I know you don't want to talk about Sixers or boxing, right?
No.
We're going to get move past that? Okay.
Yeah.
Someone brought up Mets cheating.
Yes.
The Mets are cheating.
Well, we've talked about it frequently over the last few months here, Pat.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I won't mention the vendor, but one thing I do know what I'm talking about is cybersecurity. So, yeah, there may be a problem with the vendor in that stadium.
Wait a minute.
And
what are you talking about?
I'm not a conspiracy theory guy.
Mm-mm. Yeah, but just give us the information without getting anybody in trouble. Stop hinting at stuff. Tell us what you
right. Lock yeah. in, Pat.
I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
Yes,
but there may have been a thing behind what the Mets were doing with those microphones, quote unquote, around the stadium.
Boomer had a point.
I don't know if you remember how that happened, but
yeah. So you're saying you have knowledge of this, or you believe it could be the case?
It's out there. So I'm just saying it's out there.
Okay.
I'll take your word for it. All right. Yeah.
I like it. I like it, Pat. You know, I'll take half-sourced theories, but I don't mind.
Half-sourced.
Yeah.
How about a tenth of a source?
Yeah, well, it's good enough. Yeah. Pat, so next question today is asking for, it is National Make Your Bed Day. So, and Ike is a stickler for the bed being made.
That's
so
right.
We're asking everybody for their pet peeve, and the best one today, we'll get a pair of tickets to the Bite for the Fight Food Festival on Saturday. What is your number one pet peeve?
I never make my bed, by the way, and it drives my wife crazy.
Well, that's all right.
So that's her pet
peeve. She can do it. Yeah.
My biggest pet peeve is the zipper merge. Why doesn't anyone know how to merge into a lane?
The zipper merge is controversial. So are you saying that everyone...
It's not controversial.
It is controversial, Pat. It is a controversial
It's actually a law in Germany. Look it up.
Great.
How's that supposed to help me?
Yeah, so you're suggesting, are you one of those people that hates when people merge early, or do you hate when people go merge late? Like, what is your issue with the zipper merge?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Early is the problem.
Okay.
You have to merge late. You have to go all the way into the lane, and then people need to let those people into the lane so they can merge into the middle. If you try and merge early, you're just backing up traffic behind you.
Hmm.
It's my biggest pet peeve ever. It causes most traffic problems around the world, and you know, it should be enforced.
Don't you think there
is a? I don't know.
Don't you think there is a bit of an issue with the speeding up all the way to the front people too, though?
Yeah, of course. When they try and jam their way in,
yeah,
it's a zipper.
Okay.
It's a zipper.
All right, it's a
called the zipper merge.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
it's the zipper.
Okay.
All right, there he is. Pat from Denver. Love you too, buddy. 215-592-9490. That was a good call from Pat in Denver. Jack, do you have Pat from Denver's number?
No, but he tweets at us all the time.
Okay, maybe try to DM him or something, get a little more information on that Mets thing. I would like to know what he's suggesting. I think he is suggesting that the microphones were doing something. Wonder if there's a pitch comm issue.
I have no idea.
Yeah, all right. 215-592.
But if Boomer exposed this whole thing, might have to.
He won't get credit.
Might have to extend them.
If Boehm was right, well, see, Boehm's issue was not that they were stealing signals. Boehm's issue was it was a light that was distracting.
Yeah, it was distracting him. Yes.
Yeah. That would hurt our pitchers. What I'm supposing
that Pat said, not
our hitters. All right, 215-592-9494. I am a happy owner of a brand new front door from Guida. Happy owner of a sliding patio door from Guida. Happy owner of brand new windows from Guida. I'm all ready for the winter. I am. And that front door now has one of the button locks or whatever, so I don't have to remember. Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
This guy. What a problem.
This guy.
You can do it too. Reach out to Geiter. Geiter right now has their buy one, get one off, get one half off sale on all qualifying windows and doors. So you're like me, you get yourself one of those entry doors, maybe you get a sliding patio door for 50% off, get a garage door, maybe get a window for 50% off. You can mix and match like that. The more you get, the more you save. Imagine you replaced all your windows in your house. Half of them are going to be 50% off. Don't wait on this. This is for a limited time. And you can start your project with no money down, interest refinancing for up to 18 months. Come on, man. Restrictions apply. So call Geiter today so they can give you all of the information and you can schedule a free, no obligation in-home estimate at 877-GO-GEITER or go to gogeiter.com. That is goguida.com. 215-592-9494. Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. What's up, Gary?
Yeah, I think they were listening in. I think they had, I think that's what he was implying.
Yeah, to PitchCom you're talking about.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this, Gary. If it is proven that the Mets are cheating at home, it will be the greatest accomplishment of my career.
I don't think that's true.
Asking career.
Flat out. If I just...
Moving to the top of the list.
Finally putting an Eskin name on the map, right?
Yes. If I stumbled onto the Mets cheating, and this was weeks and weeks and weeks ago where we first started talking about this.
Yeah.
If it turns out that the Mets were cheating and they can prove it, it will be the greatest thing that I've ever done.
Make you the top baseball guy on the show.
Without question. Jack would have to, it'd be the spiky baseball
report. Oh, he used
AI
to come up with all his stats.
I did not use AI to come up with the stats. I didn't even come up with stats.
And what difference does that make?
Yeah, it was my idea. Yes. I'm the one that started looking at it.
Yes.
Yeah. Shout out to my friend Mia, who went, so she went to a game at Citi Field. She noticed how big the, this is other information I have, I haven't shared yet. Noticed how big the screen in center field was and that it was centrally located. And she went and did all of this like analysis with stadiums that have screens that are big and in center or center right.
Yeah.
And noticed that they have a bigger winning percentage at home than teams that do not. So all they could be cheating with the screen too.
All right.
There's a lot there.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Listen, I love a good conspiracy theory.
Down with the Mets. All right. Anyway, continue, Gary.
I think they're cheaters.
I think they're cheaters too.
That guy's call reminded me of the guy last week. I meant to talk to you about it with Trey Turner. And I wanted to ask, what creeped Trey Turner out more? The guy asking him stuff at the preschool or Jack touching him?
Ooh, again, there's no creep factor. There's two good friends.
Definitely Jack touching him.
Yeah, definitely Jack touching him.
No.
So if Gary is noting that we got a call last week of somebody who said their child goes to the same school at Trey Turner as Trey Turner, he asked Trey Turner about his hamstring, and then he immediately called sports radio, called WIP to tell us what Trey Turner said.
The beauty of the show.
Yeah, so that guy will never get talked to by Trey Turner ever again. But at least that guy, as far as we know, that guy didn't touch his arm like three times like Jack did with Trey.
Well, two good friends catching up.
Away from Little Trey.
Yeah. You believe in the Phils, Gary? You think it's the year?
I believe in the Phils, man. They're so resilient this year.
Yeah.
Somebody gets hurt and the next guy steps up. Yeah.
Feels good.
Scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah. How confident?
7.5.
Okay.
That's fair.
That's not bad. Yeah.
So, Gary, for next question today, what is your number one pet peeve?
Pet peeve. Just tell me what you don't like. Don't say, I got a pet peeve. Just say, I don't like it. Say,
he's saying that's his pet peeve.
Oh, saying the word pet peeve?
Yeah. No, he's farting.
I like it.
Just say you don't
like
it.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Gary. I come on and I say, tell us something you don't like. Somebody's going to be like, well, I don't like, cheese. And they're like, does it bother? Pet peeve is something that you encounter all the time that you don't like. Like, I don't like, milk.
It's not the same thing as something you don't like.
Yeah. So,
I just don't like the phrase pet peeve.
Well, get out of it. All right. That's your pet peeve.
That's my pet peeve.
That's a good one.
Callers who don't follow the instructions.
Yeah, don't say pet peeve.
They want to change the question.
Yeah, get out of here, Gary. 215-592-9494. Oh, shoot.
I got more pet peeves, but.
Yeah.
Most of them are in-house pet peeves.
Do you want to give one more?
I think you should do a top five of your pet peeves.
Yes.
No, because then they know I'm basically singling people out in the house. So, yes. No,
okay.
I'm not doing that.
I'm sure you got some neighborhood pet peeves, too. Oh,
no. My neighborhood pet peeves is the dog stuff, man.
Oh, but the pooping on your lawn, not cleaning it up.
Yeah. By the way,
yeah,
I saw you when I was leaving going to work today. I'm just letting you know. I saw you walking the dog. They know I saw them.
Oh, and they didn't clean it up?
No, I didn't see. I didn't see the dog use the bathroom. I'm just saying, if I come home today
and there's stuff
and there,
there.
Stuff there, you're already guilty.
So, what do you think of this?
Yeah,
because I got a problem with this. The people, and then you live in a suburban neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and you put a little sign on your lawn that says, "Don't let your dog pee here." Or whatever.
Well, don't let them pee.
Yeah, there's like, don't please respect our lawn or whatever.
You're right, because I do got a lot of pee stains in my head.
Yeah.
You know, they do it enough, it turns the grass yellow.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, don't you sort of think, you got a house in the suburbs, you got to let dogs pee in
it. It don't bother me to pee. The pee does not bother me.
Well, yeah. Are they telling all the other animals that run through their lawn, like the squirrels aren't allowed to pee on your lawn either? I bet they're not looking at the sign.
Yeah, the pee doesn't bother me. You're right. I'm okay with that. Leaving the logs in the yard.
Yeah, and cleaning up.
Yes.
When I lived in South Philly, it was horrible.
I bet.
Because it would be like on the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk, yes.
So I was taking...
Are you going to tell a story about...
Yes.
Yes, okay. So, I'm going to remind you.
Yeah. So sometimes, if I don't get all my steps in, after the Phillies game is over, I'll take a walk around the neighborhood for a little while, okay. You know, just, and it's perfect walk at night weather. So I'm walking, and this is how I'm dressed, just for perspective. I'm wearing baggy jeans, and I'm wearing an Adidas track jacket, or black Adidas track jacket.
Right.
So I'm walking, and I'm on the other side, not a place where I walk all the time, and I see a gentleman and his white dog, and I walk by, and it's dark out, and I just wave and keep walking.
Yeah.
So then I walk around, I'm walking back, and he's walking his dog, and I wave, and he goes, "Hey, man." I'm like, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "What you up to?" And I'm like, "I'm just taking a walk." He's like, "Yeah, you live around here?" And I go, "Oh, I'm fine."
Right. You're not casing the neighborhood.
I was like, "I live right over there." He's like, "What number?" And I was like, "Oh," but I respected it because, you know, he's trying to protect his neighborhood.
Neighborhood watchman.
And I said, I'm not going to say my address, but I said my address of where I live. And I said, "I just take a walk at night sometimes." I walked over, pet his dog. And he told me, he said, "Look, a few weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, let the dog out, saw somebody wandering around, didn't say anything about it, woke up, found out that a few cars got broken into. It turns out it was that person." He said, "So when I see somebody walking around that I don't know."
Sure.
Yeah. I still think he thinks that I don't live there, though.
Yeah.
That I was lying.
He definitely thought you were the guy.
Yes.
Or something. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, what is this tattooed idiot walking around?
What is this guy doing around here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got stopped in my own neighborhood.
Man, they still haven't gotten you. You've been there a year now.
No, I've been there 5 months. May.
Oh, that's right. I kept thinking about when you came. Yeah, you're right. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was late at night, whatever. I get it. But it did happen to me.
Yeah.
So 215-592-9494.
I do that with the teenagers. If I see teenagers in my neighborhood.
Yeah. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
I'm like,
Graham.
I know you don't live here.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I know the teenagers in this neighborhood. There aren't very, most of them are mine or their friends. Like, yeah. I
think you're a neighborhood watchdog.
No, listen, we all have duty
as
part of the development to protect the development, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
But absolutely. You see somebody
people,
you don't know.
You see people that's not familiar, you're like, "Hold on."
Yep.
Who you with?
I like that.
You got to do that.
The people are looking at me right now.
They should.
Well, you normally got the baby with you.
Yeah, they're pretty hard.
Yeah. You think that guy walk around with the baby? You think the baby steals stuff from the cars? You think he's using the baby as a prop?
Yeah, man.
There's identifying people in the neighborhood you don't know. And the other thing that you got to do if you live in the neighborhood is you see somebody driving too fast, you got to go, "Hey!
Oh, dude.
Slow it down!"
And it's always somebody that's visiting.
Yes.
One of the people that live. It's like, dude, seriously.
Yes.
I'm with you. I do the same gesture. It's the hands in the air like, bro.
Yeah.
For real?
Yes.
There are signs all throughout here saying,
"Slow down, kids.
Kids playing."
Yep.
Yo, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Sometimes I don't even say anything. I just go like this. Put my arms up. 215-592-9494. Smooth Joe in the Northeast. You're on WIP. What's up, Smooth Joe?
Hey, gentlemen, how you guys doing today?
What's up, Smooth Joe?
What's up, Smooth Joe?
All right. I want to say, first of all, about the Phillies.
Yes, sir.
They've been playing on cycles. They started off the season on an up climb, then a downslide, up climb, downslide. It's been that same way all along, and when it comes to the playoffs, it depends on which cycle they're going to be in. Hmm. That's how that's going to play out there.
Well, I'm glad they're on an glad they're on an upslide toward the end of the season, though, right?
Oh, I love it too. Oh yeah.
All right.
But I don't want that downslide to pop up at the wrong time. You know what I mean?
Uphill downslide.
Yeah. Well, take it up with Smooth Joe.
But listen, with that Corey guy, I agree with that guy 100%.
I don't even remember what Corey said. What did he say?
House close.
Oh.
About the couch thing.
Okay. So if you weren't listening earlier, this is just Smooth Joe for the listeners who weren't listening 3 hours ago. What Corey said is, one of our regular callers, we asked him for a pet peeve. He said, if his kids or his wife or something go to work or go to the mall or something, then they come home, before they sit on the couch, they got to change into different clothes. You do the same thing?
That is a different way about it there.
Okay.
You go to the linen stores, department stores, you buy you a couch cover. You put that puppy over there.
Yeah.
Anybody can sit on that. Now, when you get ready to lay down, you just snatch that off, baby, and you're good to go.
Huh.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the couch cover, but then you have this nice couch that it just has a cover on it all the time.
Hey, if I know what's there, it's mine. You see what I'm saying? Now,
all right. Okay.
You know, depending on who's visiting, who might be visiting, then you know you would move the cover there. But you get any kind of ordinary person might pop on by after they come from the doctor's office. Everybody at that doctor's office sick for one reason or another. And they be sitting in them chairs in the doctor's office, okay? And that's going to come in the contact transfer.
Right.
Yeah.
Onto your couch. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Contact transfer. That's forensic science talk.
Yeah.
Right. Smooth Joe, you are one of one.
I like it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call.
Smooth Joe, you can tell Smooth Joe, you also sound like you are used to being sitting on plastic on the couches.
Man, I had some mantees was like that.
Yeah.
They had plastic on their couch.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Looking like, you know.
Yeah.
That happened all the time. Yeah.
And what was the point of it again?
To keep the couch.
To preserve the couch.
But even then you couldn't even enjoy the couch because it was covered in plastic.
You couldn't enjoy it because it was covered in plastic.
Yep. Is Smooth Joe from the past? I feel like I'm talking to somebody who went through time travel.
I think we should do life advice with Smooth Joe.
Yes,
ooh,
I
that
would
sounds
love.
Like that'd be good.
Yeah, I like Smooth Joe. Need Smooth Joe to call in. He goes through phases where we get Smooth Joe.
Yeah.
So, Jack, what do we have coming up in the top 5-5? Everybody's wondering.
Stock up, stock down on Afternoon Show callers. Come on, man.
All right. Okay.
Some guys are on a run.
Okay. I want to hear, but I'm more interested in the people whose stock is down. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.